Hey, what's going on, everyone? MTashed here with the RGH podcast and two of the hottest gamer dudes, True Vanguard and Cacus HD. Today, we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of gaming topics. We're going to be talking about Thorin losing his mind and becoming esports. Riot Games, $100 million settlement. We got Cyberpunk topping the 2021 charts. What? Hey, was that right? Is that right?
That don't make no sense. There's no way.
China is banning Steam, and then Logan Paul, never heard of him. Logan Paul, destroying 5,000 Game Boys.
5,000.
That's what Twitter would make it seem like.
Hey, mm-hmm. maybe that's what it is. So let's just jump into the content. So yeah. Apologize if any of the audio settings are a little off. My keyboard had a malfunction today. Yeah, I don't know.
What happened, Tash?
I dumped a bunch of water into it, and then I decided to dry it off with a little towel. And then I was like, hey, there's a bunch of water underneath the caps.
What dries water?
A hairdryer, apparently.
Of course!
So I used a hairdryer. And it was much hotter than I thought, and I melted and fused all the keys. I killed it. I murdered all the plastic inside.
Bro.
And I pressed down on the S key, and it was like kind of squishy. And I like pressed down the S key, and it got stuck there. And I was like, huh, that doesn't seem right. And yeah, all the buttons are broken. So I completely
Bro,
killed
I can't
the keyboard.
Believe you've done this.
Well, it was a keyboard, and it had like little, like, it was a mechanical keyboard, but it had a membrane, and so it's got a little bit of a soft feel to it. I'm pretty sure I melted that.
Yeah.
Whatever was under there. So, yeah. So I got a little a $19 fun fact Logitech $19.
Hey. There you go.
Logitech, no RGB in this bad boy. The worst.
Yeah, that's what they're like. Mine has like a detachable, like softy thing for you, but when a whisk can go on, and when I plug it in, then it RGBs around it.
Oh,
I swear,
nice dude.
90% of like the cost of my keyboard is just RGB lights that I couldn't possibly care less about.
And your wisp protector.
But what a wisp protector! What a wisp gets so because I'm playing Destiny for 8 hours a day. I need to protect these wrists, baby.
Fun fact: I've got a little wrist protector too. And
what's
that little logo right there in the middle?
Where'd you get that from?
Do you remember when Razer did that collaboration with Destiny? There's like a Razer Ornata keyboard, I think.
Oh, the Ornata, yeah. This, I have an Ornata.
This is that, and so I was using a different keyboard, but I kept the wrist wrapper.
Do you want to know something funny? I declined that because I was like, no, I don't do sponsorships. Like, I was like, no, I have the most integrity out of anyone. I don't do sponsorships because guess what? Then the viewers. They respect the content, and I declined, and everyone else did it, and then it's like, no one gave a crap. No one gave a crap. It was a good product, and everyone's still like, this video was 15 seconds longer than Dado's video. You're actual garbage. I was like, what? Now I do sponsorships. I'm like, bro.
You just saw the power of the Naraka Blade Point sponsorship, and you're like, okay,
hey,
I'm coming to the dark side, baby.
Yeah, honestly, it's like, listen, if Naraka's like, hey, do you want to play a game with your friends and we'll pay you, and the game's fun too?
I have too much integrity to do that, bro.
And also, nothing's going on in Destiny right now. Like, yeah, hell no, brother, I'll do that. And it was a fun game. We all had fun.
See, I don't know. Like, I don't know if people have any idea, but like the joke where it's like the Raid Shadow Legends hot tub, it's like,
yeah,
it's not really a joke. Like, it's
real.
It's real. The Raid Shadow Legends hot tub.
I should be clear. Like, when we're talking about sponsorships, it, you know, certainly for myself and you guys too, it's like we don't pick up. I turn down a lot of sponsorships still.
You turn down way more than you take, yeah.
I turn out way more than I take. So, you know, obviously there's a time and a place for a sponsorship. If it's like a fun product, like Manscaped, like we all use Manscaped, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like, okay, I already use it. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? But then there is people promoting some sussy baka stuff. And yes. You're kind of not 100% sure about that.
I had this one. I actually turned it off for several other content creators who saw me posting about it. But I forget the name of the app. But it was like this app. Oh, actually, now I do remember the name. I'm not gonna name it though. I don't want to call attention to it. But anyways, there's this app that's supposed to like track in-game stats across multiple different games and give you like a social hub to interact with gamers. And they were like, "We want to work with you. We'll pay you this rate, and we'll give away a PS5." On your channel. And I was like, wow, this is like a really good deal. I've never heard of these people, but they're coming at me with this a really good deal. So initially I was like, my agency was like, we need to hear back within 24 hours, you know, whether or not you're in. So I was like, well, sure, let's just say I'm in. And then as I got more information about this app, like I read up on them and they're like, been reported for stealing money from users and
oh my gosh.
And yeah, anyways, so I was like, I pulled out. I was like, after reading all this horrible stuff about him, I pulled out and I just made a tweet about it. And I got contacted by some other content creators who were in on that same deal. They're like, that didn't happen to be with this app, was it? And I was like, yeah, that's them. And they're like, oh no, I already committed to that too.
I mean,
so a bunch of us pulled out.
Yeah. It's a whole wild world. We should probably save these stories for an After Dark special, I will say.
Honestly, we're more interesting than half.
No, that's
topics.
True. Sure. Well, not as interesting as this first topic here. This was... I kept seeing on Twitter people like, I am whatever. Uh-huh. I am, like, gaming. I am Destiny. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I was like, what is it?
Well,
like...
That's what my tweet was. I was like, I always see the meme and people quote tweeting it, but I never see the thing that they're quoting. Like, what the hell is this?
And so I know.
You know, I did some digging, and it ended up being an esports caster named Thorin, who had a mental breakdown. Like, what do we call this thing?
Went on a bit of a rant, let me tell you.
How many tweets in a row? That man didn't get any sleep either. It was like every hour throughout the entire night. Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
He should have stopped at the start. He shouldn't have even started, but he did start. He just kept going.
And
oh,
just kept
man.
Digging.
Like, if you want the full thing, you should just go to Thorin's Twitter page if it hasn't been shut down or locked.
No,
but
he's still
he was,
up.
He was like responding to people and like quote tweeting everyone. And like, it was just an endless barrage all day of tweeting. He was going on about like female...
So there was
like
a
female esports team.
Only CSGO, tournament or esports team, right?
It's a CSGO. It's called GG for All. It was a women's tournament, essentially, with a $500,000 prize pool. I mean, it's huge. I mean, a couple of big sponsors came in and were like, we're totally in for this initiative. We want women gamers to have representation in esports. This is something we want to get behind. So some pretty big sponsors came in to back this tournament, ended up with a massive prize pool, which you would think, hey, that's pretty cool, right? Well, as it turns out, the guys in the scene, a lot of the like casters and even some of the players in the CSGO competitive scene did not appreciate the prize pool being so big for a tournament exclusive to women.
Yeah.
Okay.
And can we say like, coming from that perspective, we're going to talk about why, but it's understandable if you're make a living on, especially winning money. If you're like a CSGO pro and you see a $500,000 thing and you can't participate, you're like, oh, this is BS. Like, it's understandable to have that like feeling, but then it's like you have to kind of remove yourself, the individual, from the pool and look at the wider prospect of why they're doing this, right? As an individual, again, if you're a pro and you're like, I'm going to compete in every tournament and have a huge tournament with a huge prize pool, you're like, ah, frick. Like, I can't enter this. I want to win the $500,000. But again, and we'll get into why. But I think that was what really sparked everything off, was that, like, I can't participate, so now I'm upset.
Yeah. And it devolved into some really... like frankly some pretty sexist comments and
then it got weird.
Some pretty horrible stuff. It got weird, and at the end of it all, and even right now, it's just devolved into memes and name calling. It's not even like intelligent discussions in the CSGO scene about, you know what I mean, about the implications of the event and how we can maybe build bridges moving forward and find some common ground. Like, there's none of that right now. It's just everyone picked a side and they're just throwing hate at each other.
And the big thing you might have seen was the I am esports, which was one of the
he tweeted out
one of the comments he made.
Again, it was nothing like it was no like intelligent argument of like, hey, people. This is, you know, we feel people are being left out. Maybe we can do this. Maybe we can do that. It was just like, I'm going to rant and then I'm going to say, I am esports.
Well, and
he was
like, peon.
And he was like,
he called everyone peons.
Yeah. And he was like, this is why women aren't respected in esports. Yada. Oh. And he's like, wait, what? Where is this coming from? Like, it just devolved. And then one of the Twitter replies was this girl, and she's like, "You're never gonna get laid, you incel." And then I think he was like, "Yeah, well, look at your profile picture. Like, this is just the most incel-y attitude too." And you know the thing is a lot of people did respond that were complete incels and that hate women. Like, just they hate women, they hate esport women, and it's like they don't deserve to be there. Put them in a tournament with the male pros and see what happens. And it's like, that's not what this tournament is about. Like, are they the best players in the world? Are they winning in tournaments against, you know, Simple and Old Shroud and stuff? Maybe not, but that's not what it's about. It's about it's a fun competitive thing, highlighting some other female talent in the thing, and it's like, you can't compete in it? Too bad. Because here's the thing. It's like, if it wasn't this initiative, if it wasn't this thing that they're trying to do, that $500,000, it just wouldn't exist. You can never have a piece of it. It never would be a part of the pie for you. So
that's
you can't
That's exactly right.
Right? You can't be upset that it's not there.
Like I said, it's, I don't want to say a reasonable reaction, but it's, you can understand someone who's like, I'm a pro, I compete in these tournaments, and I can't compete in this one, and now I'm out of this prize pool, I'm upset. But as soon as you start stepping back and looking at it with a more reasonable scope, you're like, wait a minute. Like, again, it's not like they had a tournament, and they're like, last minute, all the men who signed up, you're out of here. That would be, like, not a good move. But they made this tournament from scratch, as far as I know, and so this tournament is not taking away anything. It's only adding. And what it's adding is a bunch of interest in the game, right? It's like, you do have a lot of games, especially like CSGO, is very male-dominated, right? And so we're like, okay, let's try to get more women into this space. And again, these women, people are, they're not good enough to compete. Well, maybe not yet, but like, how long have they been on the scene? Probably not as long as some of the like male pros. So you give them their own tournament, they acquire these skills, and I bet soon enough they could be in the full-fledged tournament. Or you say, all right, the winners, or not the prize pool winners, but like the top whatever, they get places in the full tournament or something like that. And then you start to like, and we have another tournament, we kind of combine it, and we just keep going from there. Like, it's going to create more positives for the game in the long run.
Right. And it's like, CSGO supports women? And then all of a sudden, Tampax is sponsoring the CS:GO majors, and they're getting a piece. Like, I don't know.
They're bringing in money. Like,
but like,
if why they're bringing in money? They're bringing in fans.
Who cares? Yeah.
Because guess what? If you have I would say, like, if you're okay, so you're a female streamer, right? You're good at CS:GO. Maybe you're not like good enough at that point to go into actual real tournament, but you get into this tournament and you do well, or even more likely and better for my example, you're not a CSGO pro, you're a female streamer, plays another first person shooter, but you get into this tournament or something like that, you have a little bit of CSGO experience and you do well, you're bringing your audience into CSGO. You're like, all these people who are not part of the tournament scene are becoming part of the tournament scene. They're bringing their audience, and their audience might be like, all right, my streamer's not streaming. I loved CSGO. I'm going to go watch a male streamer who's on the top of the CSGO directory. You've just got a new viewer that you wouldn't have had before. And your viewers are sharing with other people. Like, you're just bringing more eyeballs. Like,
the rising tide raises all ships.
CSGO is going up. So if you're in that space, you will just naturally go up as well if more eyeballs of more players are introduced.
Exactly. And like, maybe there aren't any pros because half of you guys are being misogynistic in the lobbies constantly. Like, no wonder, it's because there's people like this that are just constantly shiitake mushrooming on over any females that want to play the game. And like, here's the thing. Do you know what game has massive audience and a massive female audience? Or at least did? League of Legends. League of Legends has a massive female audience. Do you know what other game has a massive female audience? Genshin Impact. Like, massive. 25% of my audience is female now. It used to be it used to be 1%. I couldn't believe it. I went out and looked at my stats.
That's
like,
cool.
I was like, what? And then I went in chat. I went on stream and I was like, are there any females on the Twitch stream right now? And it was just Caitlyn Tran. I was like, oh my God. I had no idea. And, you know, if CSGO starts getting some of that female audience, Overwatch had a good female audience. There's a lot of females in the world. Like, if
50% of people are female,
right,
dude. Like,
right? 99% of my audience was male. And then all of a sudden you add in the potential of 50% more than that to just, like, appear out of nowhere because of game. Imagine if you were an Animal Crossing streamer and you've got all the males and all the females that are interested in that game. It's a completely different ball game all of a sudden.
Yeah, so, like, it's again, it's nothing but beneficial to overall that space. Like, you're just adding more eyeballs and more players to the game.
Or at least it would be beneficial to that space if the leaders in that community rallied behind it were warm and welcoming. I mean, Thorin was not the only one. There was a number of voices that sort of added to the pile. One of the more prominent ones being a guy named Semler, who is also a caster, works side by side with Thorin oftentimes, good buddies, right? And some of his takes on Twitter were like, in one tweet, he called it a league with free money for women gamers. And it's like, how's it free?
They gotta win.
How's it free money if they gotta compete for it? You know what I'm saying? So it was those takes and those, you know, those tweets that got massively upvoted and whatnot that would probably kill any good, you know, productivity you might make with a promotion like this, you know?
Well, it's because, like, you're on social media. Like, it's like, you can't just have a reasonable discussion. Everything's got to be so intense, right? Like, they're pointing out, you know, they're retweeting and constantly pointing out the women that are being toxic. And, of course, like, of course there's women who are being super overly toxic about this whole thing and, like, and, you know, saying, haha, you can't compete in the tournament, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's human beings. They're going to be crappy people. But then they point out that and say, see, all women are like this. This is why we shouldn't have the tournament. And then most other people are like, bro, I'm literally, like, not doing anything. I'm just chilling. I was excited to compete in this tournament. Right? Like, you're focusing on this small, like, the generally, like, a toxic negative, and then you're promoting it, and then everyone thinks everyone's acting like that, and it's just, like, everyone's now bashing heads, and it's just a bad look overall. If, like, you can't just have, like, a normal... I bet if they just would have gotten everyone in a room and hashed it out, it would have gone better. But it's on Twitter, the most, like, one of the most toxic platforms of all time, so it's just, like, increased the toxicity by so much.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, because even right now with what Activision's doing, we're going to talk about Riot Games in a minute, you know, $100 million settlement and stuff. I think right now is probably not a great time to be misogynistic and, you know, saying we're talking like even extra. It's never a good time. But now, is Thorin going to get brought back to CSGO tournament casting?
I don't know.
You know, or is it like, nah, this guy's out of here.
From a professional standpoint, I wouldn't touch him.
I wouldn't hire him. No, exactly.
Yeah, no, it's not a good look at all.
And then is he going to be like sitting at the desk with the other color caster, and she's sitting there like, hi, Thorin. Like
we're supposed to work together.
Yeah, like, we're supposed to work together. I don't know. It just seems like a weird thing.
Because it is weird because it's like, again, it's like if you really dilute it, you can understand why certain people are individually upset that they don't get to participate or people are being crappy to them on Twitter. But then again, it's like as soon as you take one step back, you realize, wait a minute, this is just going to bring way more eyeballs, unusual sponsors, more players into this game. It's just overall going to benefit everybody. I mean, and can I just say, like, it's so weird that all these, like, the thing that annoys me is there's so many guys out there that are like, oh, I want the gamer girl girlfriend, right? The gamer girl, the, you know, yeah. the goth GF gamer girlfriend. Like, so many people want that. So many guys, like, talk about want that. And then if a girl's actually in their lobby, they're, like, toxic to her.
Yeah.
They go back to the kitchen, ha, ha, ha. And then later, like, why can't I find a gamer girl GF? It's like, because you're toxic, damn. It's like, dude, you realize.
Why does my girlfriend not like it when I play video games?
Yeah, well, like, if you added. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, my girlfriend doesn't want me to play. It's like, dude, like, play with her. Guys. And if she doesn't want to play, it's because, like, of all this crap. Like, yes, there is a stigma against. There is a little bit of a self-imposed stigma against women in gaming. Like, a lot of women was like, ew, gaming's lame, right? Like, and that's just goes back to when gaming was first introduced. Like, the older population would say gaming is bad. You know, all the stuff. You told me, Tash, your dad would be like, why are you spending 5 hours playing RuneScape? Watch TV for 5 hours. And you're like, that doesn't make any sense. It's still watching a screen. Like, you would have these negative stereotypes, you know, between gaming. And now, as the older population grew up with gaming, it's going down, but you still have it. So all we're trying to do is get more people into gaming. And the more people that are into gaming means better games, more, you know, more money to make better games,
bigger
more
budgets,
gamers, and, more people to play with. Like, it just benefits everybody.
Yep. Speaking of bigger budgets, Riot Games is going to need a bigger budget because they are about to pay out $100 million in a settlement from a few years back now.
You thought $500,000 was a lot of money. $100 million.
I mean, to Riot.
$100 million.
How much money? Does this say how much Riot? How much money
probably
is Riot making?
Billions. Probably billions.
Yeah, while you're.
Let's find out.
Real quick, I do want to hit this. While you're looking that up, one of the last comments in chat about the previous topic was that this horrible take where they're saying, man, well, these women these days never would have survived in the old school lobbies. And he said it builds character. It's like, bro, just because something did happen in the past doesn't make... would you say that about slavery? If someone is speaking out against racism, you'd be like, well, you never would have survived back during the Civil War. It's like, bro, that take is dog crap. Dog crap. And if you actually stand behind that argument, man, I pity the way your brain functions, quite honestly.
Here's the thing, is I remember those Call of Duty lobbies, and in my headset, I was muting everyone because I was like, that guy's racist, that guy's racist, that guy's racist, this guy's homophobic, this guy's sexist. Like, I was listening, I just muted them. It was like, I didn't want to sit there and listen to it because they were just degens, like absolute degens. So if you're like, I was partaking in that and hurdy hurdy hoo, yeah, you're a hillbilly. So there you go. There you go.
It's this $100 million settlement is interesting because it's like, if I remember correctly, so $80 million is going to current and former employees, female employees at Riot Games, so people did contract work included. And then the other $20 million is actually to cover all of their legal fees for this whole multi-year process. It's interesting how this might set some precedent, you know, moving forward, because there's actually, obviously, we've reported on a number of these situations this year already on the show, but there's a lot of other lawsuits out there right now that are working towards settlement. So it'll be interesting to see how this might, I don't know, maybe inform the way that these things go moving forward. I'm not sure.
Do you know what?
But it is sort of groundbreaking in that regard. It's one of the first times we've ever seen one of these cases, like, done, settled.
Yeah, and my question is, you know, $100 million, but how much is it per person? Or, like, how do they do the math on it? Because let's say we're doing Riot and they're $100 million. I don't know how many people work at each of the companies, but, like, let's say there's triple the amount of females that came forward or are part of this. Are they, you know, would Activision have to pay $300 million? Is it going to be a precedent set per person? I don't know how that all happens, but the good news is the law now says, you know, this is what happened. Here's the precedent. We've proven it. You cross the line here. Here's your penalty, and you pay it. And then they're going to be able to go into these other cases at Blizzard and just check that list and be like, yep, that happened, that happened, that happened. And they're going to get a big quote at the end saying, now here's all the money you owe. So, I mean, and good. You shouldn't be able to get away with this stuff, period. And I, like, honestly, I feel like it's been a long time. When did that scandal start? I feel like it was like
years ago,
like 6 years ago. Even.
I think
like,
it was like, I remember like a, hearing long about a long time ago. Yeah. Don't quote me on this, but I feel like I was hearing about this about the same time, like the that original KDA pop stars, you know, music video landed and everyone was like celebrating Riot Games. And then it was like, but then here comes the other side of it. I felt like it came swiftly after that where people were like, well, but hold up. Don't be celebrating these guys just yet.
For some reason, in my brain here, was it in like around when Forsaken happened? Because, not Forsaken. The Taken King, Destiny 1, the Taken King, because I went and did that event at Red Bull, and I remember we drove past the Riot building, and I want to say someone made a comment about it, which would put this, you know, this is, that would put it quite a while ago. I can't quite remember, but I want to say that happened, because we did it at the Red Bull building, and we passed the Riot building somewhere along the way, but I don't know. I can't remember, but that's a huge deal.
Speaking, those processes are long and slow. This is sort of the way it goes.
Yeah. Speaking of other huge numbers, this one doesn't make sense. Cyberpunk near the top of the charts for 2021 sales. How? Everyone was saying it was the worst game ever. People were refunding
worst
it on
game,
PlayStation.
They sued.
Sony pulled it.
It somehow made it to one of the top sellers despite not being available to buy for a considerable amount of time right after it released, too. Like, that was wild. And still.
Is it? And here's my question. Is it because of the release? Is it the launch? And a bunch
That's
of people
a great question.
Just didn't return it? Or is it when they went? Because I think they did a 50% off sale, didn't they?
Here's how it shook down. Because that was like when the news first broke about this, a number of articles were published kind of breaking it down. And that's what they said. Like, they said most people might have assumed that it made it this high up on the charts because of those initial sales. Like, it was marketed like crazy everywhere before the game launched. Everywhere you looked, it was Cyberpunk ads, you know, and you're seeing Keanu Reeves and those ads and whatnot drumming up hype. And so the pre-orders were high, you know, the initial day purchases were high. And then people were assuming, okay, well, maybe they made enough then that it mattered at the end of the year. I mean, certainly they did have a big chunk of sales up front. That is true. But the reality is that what actually happened is you've got sort of like the platinum tier on Steam charts of what games were purchased, you know, throughout the year. And those are the ones that everybody knows about, right? Everybody's heard about those games and because they're widely reported on. They're in that platinum tier. But the thing about Cyberpunk is it was just like just underneath that platinum tier throughout the entire year. Just constantly making really good sales, but not extraordinary. But it was really good consistently throughout the whole time. And so by the end of the year, that accumulates. And now it looks really, really good at the end of the year on the charts. But it wasn't just purchases either. It was also time played, which is interesting because you might think people bought the game, hated it, and returned it or just dropped it altogether.
No.
So it sold well, but it didn't play well. No, it played really, really well. Like, in terms of hours reported for people playing this game, was way towards the top of the charts. It's crazy.
I wonder if it's just like the length of the game, and like even if it is a bit buggy here and there, people are like, "Eh, for the money, it's worth it." I don't know. Yeah. Like, I don't know how that plays out. But I want to watch someone's review of like, I went back to Cyberpunk and here's what I found. You know, after all these updates, how is it? I really, honestly, it probably is fine now. If I went back and played it, I should just commit to it one weekend as just like grind out the main story and mess around because it does look beautiful. And I think I'm being harder on it than I should. Same with No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky, I've heard, is incredible compared to what it came, like what launched. But I don't know, I feel like jaded and burned. And I'm like, I can't go back to No Man's Sky no matter how good it is. Maybe I'm just being dumb though. Like, I know Gathalion's always hyping up No Man's Sky, and, like, I've seen all the, you know, I've just seen, like, the posts from their company, and I can't remember the CEO's name, or, like, that main guy.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Sean Evans or something? No. I can't remember what his name is. But, I don't know. I feel like I get hurt when a game doesn't launch well, or I'm upset with things early on, I'm one of those people that's very fickle, and I will kind of just lose my taste and get frustrated with the game very quickly. Even Halo Infinite, with like every time I crash, I've got like a little tally list, and if it hits a certain amount, I'm just done. I just give up. I don't care if you fix the game. I'm mad.
Yeah, dude.
Here's the.
Just like I don't remember like a backlash this intense for like a game for as Cyberpunk. Yeah.
Like, and then sell this well too? Like, what the hell?
It doesn't make any sense. Like, it was just so vitriol, and everyone was so mad at them. And, you know, there's the lawsuit we covered. They sued. Everyone was so mad they sued the makers, and they recommended for, like, you know, pretty much nothing. Or, sorry, they settled for, like, $1 million and stuff. Like, who's buying this game? Like, who's like, it felt like it was such a negative reaction. Then so it calls into question, you know, man, is there like there's a lot of noise out there. A lot of people say stuff, but are they actually doing it? In this case, yeah, everyone's hating on Cyberpunk and then they're secretly buying it and still playing it, or they're not refunding and they said they would refund all this stuff. And it kind of reminds me of the Call of Duty Infinite Warfare thing, where, remember, it had so many dislikes because people didn't want it. Rip dislikes, by the way. YouTube removed that piece of history. But then, like, it still sold well. Like, it didn't sell amazing, but still sold well and made Call of Duty a lot of money. So it's like, well, does everyone dislike this game or not? Like,
is it because we live in, like, an echo chamber of, like, gamer culture? And so, like, we see all the outrage, but the average person is just like, I'm going to get Cyberpunk. And they have no idea. They're just oblivious.
Yeah. And I think a big part of it, honestly, a little bit about what you're saying, but I think the kind of people that are going to sit down and play a several-hour single-player RPG are not, I mean, it doesn't clip well. I mean, no one's going out there posting clips of some nasty plays and quickscopes they're landing in Cyberpunk, right? So it's not getting posted. It's not getting widely circulated and shared. They don't have strong opinions that are worth going to Twitter for, because, I mean, they're like, I don't even know how many people are playing this game. It's something that you kind of do in private, I guess. Like, games like this, these immersive RPGs, they don't get a whole lot of attention on the social media side of things. But people they'll play that intro mission. They're like, oh, that was kind of cool. I like this character, and I've played Cyberpunk. I got full playthroughs on Cyberpunk, and I can say, like, there's a lot of things it does well. You feel immersed in the world. You start to really spec out your character in a very specific way, and you kind of get hooked on that gameplay loop. Like, every time you meet a new challenge, you're like, how can I use, like, my skills with my character? Like, I did one playthrough where I did no guns. It was all blades. So you're in, like, this hyper-futuristic world where people are using, like, you know, rockets and grenade launchers and guns with smart bullets that'll track targets, and you're running around with a katana. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like some futuristic space ninja. And it's super cool. As much hate as the game got, like, you feel really powerful. You feel like the things that you're speccing for really matter. And then it's got a great photo mode, and you're customizing lots of different parts of your character, cybernetic enhancements. Like, it's just got a ton of stuff going for it that just doesn't get a lot of attention.
True. So let's move on to this next one. China bans Steam. Well, I mean, they ban gaming, so you can't even play any games. So, like, does it matter? I don't know.
This is an interesting one. There's a lot of news articles saying that first of all, GP Hash, absolute legend right there. What the heck?
Jesus Christ.
Hey, GP Hash, you officially bought True Vanguard one whole bottle of whiskey right there.
I can get a refill tonight.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, GP Hash, absolutely. Thank you so much. And your support is very noted, and we're going into 2022 still banging.
We're still banging.
We are GP Hash's fund. We will. That's gonna fund the airplane ticket, so we can do the hot tub stream in Dash's hot tub. And we were gonna get it done, baby.
It's supposed to be here Friday, boys.
Two
Let's
of us
go.
From the hot tub, and then one person away.
Fair.
All right. So, what the hell was I saying?
China bans gaming. We don't know.
Oh, yeah. So there's several articles are like, yeah, it's been banned. Like, people can't reach it. And then other people were saying, maybe not. It's very, it's still kind of a little like loose. I don't know exactly 100% what's going on, but Steam was unavailable to access for like 8 or so hours or quite a while in like all or some parts of China. Like, it wasn't necessarily all China wide. And so it looks like potentially a move to remove the global version of Steam. So you can still access Steam, I think, but it's through like the Chinese. You can't just go to like the same like Steam website that the world uses. You right. have to have like the Chinese specific version, which is, of course, I mean, that's what China does, right? Like, anyone can make a comment on Steam. They don't want anyone saying anything about, you know, a certain square where a certain thing happened. So, like, they're just going to say, nope, it happens on our platform. And, again, it's a move to, they've already gone after gaming, and so just kind of removing one thing after another. It's
parameters
very crazy.
And strict boundaries. Yeah.
At the same time, I see Tencent buying all these developers.
Yeah, so it's like, what are you doing? It's like, gaming is banned, but you're still buying all these.
Maybe they were going to move their operations or something like that.
Even like just this week, like Tencent was announced to be the publisher for Remedy's new free-to-play shooter, which is like tying in Alan Wake and the Control game, which was really freaking cool. Like, I'm actually really excited about what this project could look like. And then you got Tencent out here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like,
what, did you hear what happened with Genshin?
No.
Genshin Impact's publisher miHoYo,
yeah,
they like offloaded publishing to a company in Singapore.
Really?
So it's not miHoYo anymore. And I don't know what that means. And I don't know if they're still developing it, you know, in China or what it all means. But yeah, they like moved their development or some of their development to Singapore, which is, you know, is that because they want to avoid the government there and some of the restrictions? I mean, there was rumors that, you know, like the government was trying to censor certain characters and change them, like Venti. Venti, they're saying, is too close to like trans. Like it's too ambiguous if it's a boy or a girl because he's got like kind of long hair and a very high feminine voice. And so they were like apparently threatening, like, you need to change Venti to be more manly. And it's like, we're not going to change our character.
I remember seeing that, like, there was, like, a ban on, like, feminine-appearing men in, like, movies and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
okay, we're going to Singapore,
still,
then.
And there's still
going to
be some, like, CPP bot in the chat, like, it's Rick doesn't know what he's talking about. It's not that bad over there. As he's got an AK to his head, like, you type faster. Yeah, just kidding. But, like, it's, like, truly, you got to feel sorry for the average consumer because this is like decisions being made way up in the height of the government. The normal person living in China is just like, bro, I'm just trying to game or like, you know, live my life and do whatever. And it is like, what will developer, if they're coming after gaming, yeah, like, are they going to start to try to influence or lessen or do whatever to all these huge developers in China, like miHoYo, Tencent, all these places.
Right.
All these people, I should say, people.
Yeah, I saw like a little bit of a post. I can't remember if it was on Hot Ones. I might have heard it on Hot Ones, the recent episode with Gordon Ramsay. But they were kind of talking about how there's a bunch of influencers getting paid to go to like Beijing, and they're getting sponsors to like go travel there and hype it up, like, oh, Beijing is so cool and everything. But they're also getting paid to say negative things, like, yeah, pretty crazy about the human rights stuff, but wow, the city's kind of cool. And like almost make it ambiguous, like, yeah, China's not the greatest, but the city's nice, in hopes of like faking like their concern about it, but still traveling in there and like, yeah, it sucks, but I'm still gonna travel.
I've been.
And it's like this whole conspiracy that the government is paying like a bunch of YouTubers and influencers. So if you ever see someone like doing a trip, there's a very good chance that they're getting paid to go there, which is, and I think like buku bucks.
I didn't go as a creator. I just went as a traveler. But yeah, I've been to China and I had a very positive experience.
20 years ago when you were an infant?
Yeah, it was Not an infant. No. I was an adult. But it was a while ago, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should be, like, we have no...
Cancel him.
This is all... It's crazy because, you know, this is all nothing about China or Chinese... It's just, like, the Chinese government has decided that the gaming is just... They like go after gaming. It just seemed like it kind of all happened in this year, 2021, where at least it ramped up, and it just kind of felt so out of the blue, especially because it's like on the backs of companies like MoHoYo and Tencent doing so well. And I can only imagine bringing in massive cash flow into China, into the GDP, and employing. How many people does MoHoYo employ? Probably quite a few, and Tencent and all these other developers. Like, it seemed like China was like starting to ramp up and pop off within gaming, and then like just as that was happening, they're like, oh yeah, it seems very bizarre. Like,
and is it like we want the money that Tencent is making, but not if the money is coming from our own, you know, people, like within the country? Like, you could take the Americans' money with your game, but if you're taking our money, yeah. I don't know, I have no idea.
Yeah, but like, it's just like
way to shoot a. Like shoot said, a growing industry, though. Like gaming is not going anywhere but up. So you either embrace it or you get left in the dust.
Yeah, yeah. It is kind of crazy. And it's like we talked about earlier, like before this all happened, there was huge investments to that market. Like, why is Diablo making Diablo Immortal a mobile game? It's for that market. We have so many more mobile gamers. And it's like, are all those investments going to backfire a little bit now? You know, we'll have to wait and see.
Yep. Let's move on now to, you know, China hates Steam and gaming. Logan Paul.
China also hates Logan Paul, as it turns out.
AK's no, you remember fair. That? No, Japan.
Yeah.
Was that no, Japan? No, that was you're right. Japan. That was Japan. You're right. Yep,
but Logan
I'm sure
Paul...
people in China also hate him. A lot of people from a lot of places also hate this guy.
But he makes crazy money with his insane boxing skills.
That's the other... Paul, that's mainly Jake.
Oh,
Paul.
Whatever.
Mainly
they're, Jake, they're yeah. the same thing.
Yeah, so Logan basically, what he did was epoxy?
Yeah.
Like, so.
He basically made art.
Yeah, so epoxy
out of some
resin.
OG Game Boy colors.
Epoxy resin is kind of blown up. It's basically where you have something, you put epoxy, like a clear liquid, and it hardens. And then, you know, you probably saw the like, classic is like there's like a scorpion inside. And you're like, oh, there's a little scorpion in here. And there's like a clear see-through. So Logan Paul took a bunch of old Game Boys and poured epoxy all over them.
It's
and
15,
now it's like a little it's, table.
It's 15 used Game Boys. Like Pokemon. Yeah. Like, we're talking like.
Yeah, of all the things Logan Paul did to be worthy of getting hate, this one, people were furious about it.
It was like trending for a
yeah,
while.
Look at like, these, how... like these are like 25-year-old Game Boys that might not even turn on. Like, relax. Are you kidding me? I mean, kind of cool artwork. I would get that.
I looked at that and I was like, man, I'd put that on my wall. That's kind of cool to have. Because, I mean, I literally found my... Game Boy Advance SP last week, and I with like leaf green in it, and I was like,
yeah.
"Yo, sweet, does it still work?" Fired it up. I'm 20 hours in on a playthrough, baby.
Oh my god!
I know, yeah. Hey, I'm here for. I'm a Game Boy gamer. All right, I've got a rich history there, but this did not piss me off. Okay,
yeah, I couldn't. I was like, cool.
I could
and then
not
it was
care.
Like, wait, people are mad.
Yeah. So I mean. There were some pretty hot... I mean, there was one take that was like, this is like typical rich people taking something that's meant to be used and enjoyed and making it unusable for their enjoyment.
Like,
it's like, well, I mean, like,
yeah,
it's 100% but...
rich people crap. But it's like, what isn't? You know what I mean? Like, the dude bought these games. That's how it works. He bought these Game Boys and he wants to put them into some epoxy thing.
What's the difference between keeping it on a shelf? You're not playing it. It's like... If you wanted to just collect it, I have a bunch of Super Nintendo games. You know, people collect Super Nintendo games and have them in a shelf and a bookcase. Like what's he reviews all the old games. Jared, I think his name's Jared. His YouTube channel in the back of his YouTube videos, he's got like a whole shelf full of SNES games, and it's like I'm sure he's played those and reviewed them for videos, but like.
But now they're just sitting there.
Now there's he's not playing them every day. So at what point do you draw the line? It's like, well, you could have played it. It's like, well, who gives a shit? I'm not playing.
I understand. Like, I understand. There's the theory of like, well, you're basically like, those are Game Boys that people who really value that and want that to use that could have had, and now they're in this stupid epoxy thing that one person's gonna have. Right? I understand that logic, but it's like, dude, there's emulators out there. You can download an emulator like for your phone and play Pokemon like Sapphire Red on your phone. You know what I mean? Like,
have you
the games are still out there.
There's now actual VR games that are, you put on a VR headset and you're sitting in a chair with an old school TV and like a Nintendo or like an NES, you know, and you actually in VR pick up the cartridge and you have to put it in. And then it fires it up on the screen. So it's like a VR experience to experience what you did as a kid.
Yeah, like, these are not like lost games. Like, you can still access and play them. Although I am a little worried because I'm sure he's going to be getting the Nintendo lawsuit any minute
ninjas,
now for breaking the most random terms of service thing that you would never even guess about. Nintendo's not... Our Game Boys? No, they're just mad people are like not buying the new stuff. They're mad they're being used for anything. If you probably play your old Game Boy, you probably get sued. That VR game, I'm surprised it's still up and running, baby. Nintendo lawyers are on their way, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's like, what about all those Pokemon cards that are stuck in plastic cases with the PSA 10 on them? It's like, well, you're not playing with those.
Well, here's
you
the
could
thing.
Have,
like,
though.
Like, so, part of it, honestly, one of the reasons it did blow up as bad as it did, this whole Logan Paul situation with these Game Boys, is because... One time he already gotten hot water from the Pokemon community, because one time he showed up to a fight wearing
the PSA
a Charizard.
Charizard.
Yeah, that's right.
It's amazing.
Like a necklace. I thought it was like, oh, that's funny. I don't know. Why do you get, like, it's like, bro, you got to put it somewhere. Like, I'm sure
he he's trying to pay homage to his, I'm sure, like, I'm not a fan of the Pauls. Like, I'm not, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't go out of my way to, like, cheer them on, check out their stuff, and, like, you know what I mean? But, like, I'm sure the guy wasn't out there like, I'm gonna do this to make people mad.
Well,
I bet,
like,
it was probably like, yeah, man,
it's more, it's more
cool
money than
flex.
A diamond. Like, it's more money than a necklace you could get. It's like, this is a flex, like, absolutely, but it's like, this card is worth more than me wearing a gold chain? Like, that's badass. Like, be proud of that thing. Like, show that thing off. People can be like, cultured. He's cultured with that Charizard. He's invested in a fine wine, a fine relic. Very nice.
Yeah, it's just like a weird thing, because it's like, again, the dude has definitely done some stuff worth criticism and hate.
Actually,
why
yeah.
this crap?
Yeah, didn't Soda Poppin' put a $4,000 Raichu in, like, Jell-O or something? Or, like, lube? Yeah. Someone said in the chat there. Soda Poppin flipped a card open, and he was like a $4,000 card, and he put it in there. So it's like, rich people are going to do weird stuff, but he's turning it into art. He's immortalizing these Game Boys that might not have even turned on. They might be broken. Like, I've got a Game Boy that didn't turn on.
They hate him for buying out, like, nearly all the
I did hear about that.
Of boxes. He literally has a stranglehold on the entire gens of Pokemon cards. Yeah, it's like, well, you should have bought him sooner. Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, someone's going to do that. Someone has a stranglehold on Bitcoin or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that. This is always going to happen. It's like apparently it was a good idea. You know what I mean? Like, obviously,
I'm not saying
like,
he's a good dude.
Yeah, we're not
just to be clear.
We're not saying
I'm not
he's a
like
good dude. You're not saying he's a good dude, but it's just kind of like, I don't know. I don't understand this one particularly. It just seems weird.
Also,
he's
taking on all the risk of, like, what if those Pokemon cards aren't valuable? So, like, it's like, yes. He has all these Pokemon cards, and it's like, oh, no one else can buy them, and it's jacking up the price. But it's like, he also is assuming all the risk that they could be worth nothing down the road if like something happened. Like,
I think,
I don't know.
The bigger story is just like the fact that people are even upset, like how valuable this stuff has become. Like, nostalgic Game Boys and Pokemon stuff. Like, it's just absolutely skyrocketed in value recently. Just for opening, like, it's weird, because I'm a Magic the Gathering player, and there's certainly some extremely... I mean, the Black Lotus is, like, $100,000 or whatever, you know? But, like, my most expensive card is, like, maybe like $200 or something like that, $200 to $300. Like, mm-hmm. the values of the Magikarp is like the really old ones are high, but like, it's just, I mention it because it's like Magic has a big pro scene, especially in like Arena, of lots of tournaments. It had, especially before the pandemic, huge pro scene. I don't think there's the same for Pokemon. Like, I don't really see a lot of like pro, like people are not buying Pokemon cards to make a deck. They're buying Pokemon cards specifically for that lottery factor of those super shiny, extra rare cards.
Right.
It's just like a complete collector's thing. It's like, I think a lot of people that are collecting don't even know how to play the game.
Most people sure. don't.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy.
Did you guys play that game? The Game Boy game? It was like the Pokemon cards.
Oh no, not the cards one.
Where
no,
you had
no.
like gym battles, you'd go to like a gym where, you know, you had to fight the trainer's deck.
No.
Did anyone chat remember that game?
No.
I played the crap out of that for a bit when I was a kid. Because we were collecting the Pokemon cards, and then that game came out and we were like, yo, it's like you could collect them virtually, you know, and fight with them.
So
I was totally into playing the game.
Do you know which content creator that you guys would both know was like a pro Pokemon card player though, and like went to Worlds or like
Datto, like,
nope.
Fruit.
Yeah,
Fruit. Yeah, I was gonna say that was gonna be my guess.
And it's such an interesting story. He did it. He talked about it on the podcast. But Fruit, he like couldn't afford all the different decks and stuff, and like he didn't have like a lot of people around him to play against. So he would draw out other like meta decks, and he would play both sides and be like, what would I do here to beat this hand? And so he'd like obviously have some bias, but he would have to like play himself to train for these tournaments, and then he'd go and he'd win. He'd like win these tournaments and show up with these decks. Yeah. And he joined like a clan of like of different card players, and like some of them that were really good. And it was like it was such a cool story. I listened to the whole podcast and I was like, whoa, this is amazing.
Yeah.
It just That's never cool. I know some- It never came up in conversation, but I listened to this thing. I was like, whoa, I had a whole new side of you.
I had a first edition Charizard.
Well, why'd you get rid of it?
No, it was stolen. Some asshole came to my house, stole my Pokemon cards. We went to his house. We're like, you stole my cards? Because, like, I just, like, he came over and looked at them, and then they were gone. And he's like, no, I didn't. And we're like, nothing really we can do. Like, I guess we could have called the... Like, at the time, my parents didn't understand. I was like, we got to, like, can we call the police? So, like... Is like cards, bro, right? Yeah. And then now it's like, nah, I want the SWAT team searching this guy's house.
That's right.
Dude, do you know what I mean?
It's funny. I had a really similar experience, but do you remember Tony Hawk's Pro Skater? Mm-hmm. There was the one of the boards you could get was the American Zero board. It was yellow, had the three stars on the back. I think maybe one person chat might be able to recall this board.
I have no idea.
Anyways, this was a board in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1. I loved the game. I was really into skating at the time. Both aggressive inline and skateboarding. And I actually got for Christmas, no, it was for my birthday one year, my parents got their hands on a first wave American Zero board. And it was my baby. I mean, like, I'd take that thing apart, I'd clean the wheels, the trucks, everything. And kid came over in a group of kids one day. We're hanging at my house. He was like, you checked out my board, whatnot. When everyone left, after a while, I realized the board was gone. And same thing. And where I'm like, dude, you stole my board. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. And there was nothing we could do. I lost it.
Yeah.
Scum.
Kid's like, this guy stole my... I'm going nuke. We're getting this board back, baby. You know what I mean? Like, because anything collectible, I think now, like, our generation understands, like, anything collectible,
yeah.
You can't just throw away for a garage sale, dude. All the boomers are like... Having garage sales, if I ever see like a thing of like Pokemon or Magic cards, I'm like, my son went to college. I'm like, yeet, like, give me that. That's $100,000 right there. You know what I mean? Or whatever
know.
It is. It is crazy that it's like people just don't understand the value of it. They're just selling them on garage sales.
Yeah, like yeah. I sold my Earthbound Super Nintendo game Earthbound for $160 because I had like the game book with it. I had both of them, like the game guide and that, and the guy gave me 160 just for that game. And it's like, how many times does he show up to a garage sale and there's a bin of Super Nintendo games? He's like, holy cow, I can sell these for money. Or like they swoop them up. And you always see videos like there's entire subreddits on that, like people scoring big deals from like garage sales. Like this one I saw, it was all this like crystal.
Or thrift stores.
Yeah, and it was like all this like crystal like diningware, and it was all like from Tiffany's, and they appraised it at like $16,000 from their grandma, and they're like, they got it for like $80, and they're like,
yeah,
sure.
Like, or it's like, so I found this table. Ones. It looks like a normal table. It's like the woodwork of some famous, like, George Washington made it. And it's like,
it's from his cherry tree.
And you're like, what the heck?
Actually, speaking of tables and speaking of epoxy, I went on like a binge of watching this guy who makes these like epoxy wood tables.
Oh, yeah. So and it's like has like the river through the middle and stuff. Oh,
there's so many good ones. I saw really one. Cool looking, no he doubt. Took like a torch to the wood, like he burnt all the wood and then he put it in the epoxy, so it has like the charred wood. So cool. Now I want one. And I'm like, are people going to cancel me for putting some wood in the epoxy?
Man, I have a buddy who has a business. He does that. He makes he makes epoxy home furniture from live wood, you know, live edges and stuff like that. So,
all right, tell him
if
to
you
ship
want to commission him. I'll give you his deets.
Ship it to Canada.
That's right.
I can't imagine it's too bad. Like, couple hundred dollars. I'll Google it. You Google it.
Well, since we've already transitioned, we're gonna do RGH After Dark. So, guys,
yeah,
this is the part where we're gonna answer your questions. So go ahead. Obviously, priority is given to members and donators. And
MTash Mango Splash is sold out. But luckily, Cactus Kiwi Lime is still there holding the torch. Did you know that you can get 10% off advanced.gg using code RGH?
Whoa!
That's crazy!
Whoa!
Pick up some Cactus Kiwi Lime or some of the other amazing flavors. And get your energy on so you can, you know, not be asleep at your desk when you're doing a spreadsheet.
Actually, watching
a Cactus movie video.
But I'm not gonna lie, I had some Mango Splash because I still have some, but I had some Mango Splash before this and it's saving me. I'm so tired. Like, I was so tired today. It's good.
I had some Kiwi Lime actually today because I was up till 2 a.m. finishing my Polaris Lance YouTube video. And then the kids are wide awake at 6:30 in the morning, so it's like,
I
had some Kiwi Lime this morning to get me moving. Hey, by the way, everybody, I know we had a lot of donations come in tonight as well. If you want to support the stream, you want to support the show, but you don't have the money to throw at the screen, one of the best ways you can support us is just by hitting the like button on the stream. Bumps the podcast up in the algorithm, gets fresh eyes on the show. So we really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Now, all right, so Tash, you want to go over some of the donators and new members?
Sure. We got a new one, Ace Games at everyone. Hey, guys, how is everything so far? Rick, the adapter for the headset is out of stock on Astro, but I found it on Amazon.
He won the Astro A40s.
Ooh, nice.
Unfortunately, you have to get an adapter to use on PS5. Like, it still works, but the thing doesn't work. There's a whole interesting story behind, like, PlayStation does not play well with, like, third-party... like, the Astro controller that was just starting to get traction, a lot of people really liked that. It worked for the PS4. PS5 came out. They're like, yeah, it's not going to work for PS5. Astro's like, why? They're like, it's just not. Like,
yeah, they're weird.
Like, they're so weird.
Are you guys going to check out Tiny Tina's Wonderlands?
Absolutely. When's it come out again?
One of the days, I'm pretty sure. I don't know what day. Google it. Have you ever heard of using a computer? I'm interested in it. Short interest on AMC is up
March 25th, which is perfect.
Thoughts on this topic? Short interest on AMC is up
40%. Yeah, no, we're not talking about stocks again, Tash. No, yeah. I do nothing but lose money on all these stupid Reddit things. Bro, the short is this. Trust me, bro, once in a lifetime. Okay, the once in a lifetime already happened, I feel like it was GameStop, and I don't know, man.
Yeah, I'm going to just relax on all that stuff. I'm going to invest in really chill companies.
Speaking of...
Christopher Sharp with a $200 donation. We're donating the Tash Needs a New Keyboard Fund. Hey.
$150, that goes to me for my new drink, and then you can have the other $50 for your
This thing will be fine. Look at this thing. It's got buttons. God, this feels bad. This one is not very nice. But it'll make do. And you know what's funny? So here's the fun part of the tale. I smashed the keyboard. I dumped the water. I melted it. It is what it is. I smashed it over my knee because I was like, oh, well, it's fine. I have another one in my closet. I go in the closet, and I'm like, oh, this is awkward. And then I started looking back, and I was like, huh. I gave a keyboard away to my brother. I gave one to my friend. No, not even my friend. My friend's roommate, because his died, and I was just it just came up in conversation. And then I just recently donated one to, like, a silent auction. There's, like, a my mom was helping with, like, a homeless shelter kind of silent auction thing. And she's like, do you have any gamer stuff? I was like, I do. I have a mouse and a keyboard. So I donated it. And then I went in there. I didn't have anything. So I couldn't even
You're
end my
too
stream.
Generous.
Too generous. And so it was pretty awkward, and I was sitting there, and I had, like, already broke the keyboard, and I was kind of pushing it back together, and I was like, I can't stream anymore. So things got ended early today, but...
That's funny. I saw your tweet. I was like, swatters everywhere. I was like, what's going on?
What is happening?
Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
That's funny. Lone Wolf, to answer your question, I was sipping on a paper plane tonight. Really easy, really tasty drink.
It looked
what's
good.
In, it looked what's fancy. In a paper plane?
Oh,
TV.
That's so cool that you would ask, because I know you don't care.
Is there?
But it's
is there a
lemon
daiquiri?
Juice? I'll make you a proper daiquiri one day. I promise.
I want a non-proper one. I want a juicy,
listen,
sugary
no.
one. Please.
No. I'll make you a daiquiri the way I make them for my wife. All right. You'll love
that's
it.
Gonna be too strong for me. I'm telling you right now.
I want
your wife, what your wife can handle, I can't.
Anyways, paper plate is lemon juice, Aperol, Amaro No Nino, and bourbon.
Pretty simple.
Yummy, yummy,
pretty
yummy.
Easy.
I don't even know what Amaro No Nino is.
It's Italian liqueurs, okay. Bourbon, and citrus.
Oh, from the right. Waterfalls of Napoli. Naples, under a bridge, and there's one mushroom they grow.
I actually saw
the
when
spores.
I went to Italy, when I went to Naples, they had the Amaro del whatever salesman, and he was under a bridge. You had to, like, go and find him. And you had to. There was a secret key to open the door.
And if you didn't answer his question, you had to take your pants down and, like,
it cost 3 shekels. I had to give the guy my shekels, and then he gave me the mythical thing, and he blessed it. With the fire of a dragon, and then we came back.
I tried a new
spice
TV's
like,
rum.
TV's so annoyed. He's like, oh my God.
It's I'm just letting you do
He's like,
thing.
I bought it at the local liquor store. What do you think this is?
I tried a new spiced rum this Christmas called Shipwreck.
Captain Morgan's?
Oh, okay. And it was kind of good. It was pretty sweet, pretty delicious. And I did something really fancy, True Vanguard. I learned how to do something really fancy with my drink.
Rum and Coke?
I
You added Coke to your rum?
I pressed my drink. Which is you add water so it's not as strong. So it's not as much sugar. You add a little
listen,
water.
I'm gonna make you feel better. I'm gonna make you feel better about that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Every mixed drink
yes.
is diluted with water. It's either shaken or it's stirred over ice to dilute it to cut some of the harshness of the booze. Every drink is diluted with water.
So I'm not a weirdo?
You're totally fine.
You're fine, Tash.
All right, beautiful. Did you guys get anything cool for Christmas? Any cool gifts? I got a tile. It's like a tile system. So you got, like, a little card, and you put in your wallet. And then you put a little thing on your phone, and then a little thing, a keychain on your key, and then it links all of them, and it pings them, so you can't lose them.
That stained glass window?
That is actual stained glass.
Ah, just shut up then, I guess.
That an artist was commissioned to make. That is custom stained glass with my logo, Shaq's, everything. This is so dope, isn't it?
That's sick. Yeah, I got some Lululemon sweatpants. Now I feel... I ain't got a stained glass window.
Pretty cool, huh?
Are the pants comfy? I'd like to see
yeah, they're
in
really
those
comfy.
Pants.
I'm wearing them now.
And I'd like to see them on my bedroom floor.
Oh my God. All right, we got to end with that. I got to go.
If you're listening, I have I've positioned my hat in a way that it makes me look bald. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
Maybe you should tune into the YouTube channel once in a while. Check out some of our little clips, because we make some pretty good little clips over there and highlights. Or just come watch the episode. It's a different experience when you can see our reactions and our face and us hiding yawns because it's so late. And we're so tired, but we love talking about gaming at the same time.
We go through so much. Tash had to go through, he lost his keyboard completely, was unable to do any work or whatever, had to go rush out and get another one. It was a big day for him.
And honestly, that's the first time I've been outside in weeks. Clearly.
That's right.
Like that's scary going out in the real world. I hate that. I'm not doing that anymore. I don't think I've started my car in like 9 days. It's just been sitting in my garage, and I'm like, hopefully it's all right.
Yeah, for real. Go out to the wide world. You can't turn the brightness down. It's BS.
Now
I hate that.
actually some pretty good points in chat. This is gonna be the last stream for the RGH year. Podcast for the entire year. Luckily, in 2022. We will be back because we do these every Wednesday night
at 9 p.m. Eastern, baby.
Yep, and it's gonna be incredible. Next episode, I'm sure there's gonna be big news because every time something drops right before
Twitch is about time. Twitch does something catastrophically dumb.
What's it been like 2 weeks? This is incredible.
Next week, watch like Twitch officially hires Thorin as the community outreach director.
Like new CEO of the company.
Honestly.
Thank you so much for watching. Make sure to follow us here on YouTube. Make sure to follow us there on Spotify. And thank you so much for liking the podcast. We got 140 likes, which is pretty good considering we were at 97 until True Vanguard threatened you all to press the like button. That was incredible.
Bruh.
Really good return on investment there.
That was a good, good threat.
Wow. I forgot. I was going to give away one of the Brightwing emblems. I had 10. I gave 9 away on my stream, and I saved one for RGH.
Wait, did you tweet about it? No, right?
No.
We'll give it away next episode, and then we can tweet about it and actually get some freaking viewers from it. How about
that? That's right. So we'll have to do that next week.
Next week, we're giving away that Brightwing. We have one code for that Brightwing emblem we're giving
away. Maybe. I might do something crazy and put it in epoxy and put it on my wall.
Yeah.
And it'll be rendered unusable.
As long as Logan Paul doesn't get it, we're giving away the Brightwing emblem.
Perfect.
Next week.
I'm MTashed.
I'm Kakus HD.
I'm True Vanguard.
And this was the Real Gamer Hour.